Let me start by introducing myself. My name is Odong Francis Kimoro. I am an engineer by profession, and I work in this ministry as an assistant commissioner, occupational health, under the Department of Occupational Safety and Health, which is mandated to oversee the safety and health of workers, be it private workplaces or public workplaces. The ministry is a big one, and it spans its mandate from children unborn up to the time one retires after employment. So it covers the life cycle from the womb up to retirement. So the ministry looks after the children, looks after the youth, looks after the workers, looks after women in particular, and also the elderly people, the elderly and the people with disability. So that is the span of the mandate.
Now, let's zero down to your department itself, occupational safety and occupational health.
The department is called Occupational Safety and Health. And the word occupational there denotes that we deal with the safety and health of people at work, of workers. We have not gone to deal with the safety and health in the other spheres of life, like at home, because certainly there are issues of safety and health even at home. So our mandate is to look after the safety and health of people who are working, be it self-employed or employed by another entity. And we try to safeguard the health or the safety and health of workers from a number of hazards. These hazards could be physical, like a worker falls from a workplace and breaks his arm or leg. That is physical hazard. It could be chemical, where a worker is exposed to hazardous. Hazardous means dangerous chemicals, and through various means like inhalation or absorption through the skin, such chemicals can become a danger to the health of that worker. And many times this chemical reaction takes time. It may not be immediate, like the case where one falls and breaks an arm. And then we have other hazards, like ergonomic. And this is something that people are not much aware of. When you sit at your desk in the office, is that chair you're sitting on suitable for the work you're doing? Is that keyboard you're using for 8 hours a day suitable for your hands and your eyesight? All these are part of ergonomics, and ergonomics is about adopting the worker to the work. So you try to get the right chair, the right table in terms of height and space, the right keyboard, the adjustment of the screen. I'm giving you an example of an office arrangement, but this could apply to others, like in a vehicle where a driver, for example, a long distance driver, spends hours on the road. Such people have been discovered to have issues with their musculoskeletal system, that is the muscles and the bones, because of the wrong way they position themselves at the workplace. So we have physical, chemical, economical. We also have radiation. For example, if you go to the hospital where patients are subjected to x-rays, if the radiation level goes beyond a certain time, it could affect your health. Also, the people who work in those places can be affected because they are many times exposed for a longer period of time to this radiation. So That is another aspect of the hazard. So our role in a nutshell is to make sure that those hazards are controlled so that work goes on in an environment that does not impair safety and health. We say when you go to work, you should not come back when you are injured or when you are sick. That is the mandate of the Department of OSH, in short, Occupational Safety and Health.
Sure. That's a good highlight. Now, I get you to the mining industry.
Yes.
Extractives. You might be, I'm wondering if you have tried to put a mind on what is happening in the limestone mining and marble in Karamoja, particularly in Moroto.
I will not restrict myself to Karamoja or Moroto for that matter. I will start with a general overview. The mining or extractive industry is a mandate of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development. That is not to say we, as the department responsible for safety and health, are not concerned, because our mandate cuts across sectors. Wherever there are issues of safety and health, we should be involved. So we do this through a collaboration mechanism. We've worked with the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development, especially in the oil and gas sector, to ensure that the safety standards are adhered to. The good thing with the oil and gas industry is that it is at a level of self-regulation, meaning these companies are fairly aware of the responsibilities and roles in terms of safety and health of their operations and their workers. But this is not to say that they can now be let go. We as a government entity have the responsibility to oversee that they meet the requirements that are there both internationally and also nationally, because we've got laws and regulations that must be abided by. But specifically now to the issue of Karamoja, I must say we have not gone deep into the mining area of Karamoja, and there are reasons to this. While we share that responsibility with the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development, especially the Directorate of Geological Mines and Survey, we have not built the capacity as a ministry to check the mining industry, especially that in Karamoja. So it is in our plan that we need now to get specialists and train our staff, get the right equipment to be able to go and then oversee the safety and health in the mines. You will agree with me that a mine is not a simple workplace. It is complex and it needs complex equipment to be able to access there. It needs training of the staff who will go there, and so you cannot just go to that anyhow. So in a nutshell, we are working with the Department or Directorate of Mines and Geological Survey to reach those areas. But there are other areas of the sector, like the artisanal gold mines, which are spread all over the country, especially in Western Uganda, also in Karamoja, by the way, and then also in Eastern Uganda. In this area, we've tried to work together with some government entities, including NEMA, the National Environment Management Authority. And the primary reason here is that the small gold and the small-scale gold miners, or what we call artisanal and small-scale gold miners, use a dangerous chemical called mercury in trying to extract and purify the gold that they extract at that level. Now, this substance called mercury is very hazardous to health, especially when inhaled or taken through water. So we are working on a project to sensitize the communities that are involved in this gold mining to get newer technologies other than mercury, but also to let them know that even if they are continuing to use mercury, they should beware and then put in place appropriate mitigation measures. So that's the far we've gone so far into the artisanal and small scale gold mining in the country.
Back to the mining issue, what is your role in trying to ensure that certain laws are enforced that ensures the safety of the people working in the mines? For example, the safety gear, where they are lacking. What has the ministry done? Because this exposes them, and it is your mandate to ensure that these people are not exposed.
Okay. As a ministry, we operate under a number of laws, commonly called the labor laws. These laws, plus the policies that are there, ensure that from the time one joins employment, through employment, and even out of employment, they are protected from not just the safety and health aspects, but also other social needs. For example, we have the Employment Act, which spells out what an employer must do before recruitment, during recruitment, and even after employment. It spells out the obligations of the worker, and if you go further, you'll see that we also have the OSH, Occupational Safety and Health Act, which now, as I explained earlier, is to safeguard the health and safety of the worker during employment, but also extends after employment, because there are certain things, like I talked of chemicals, whose harmful effect may be manifested after employment. There are also the Labor Unions Act, which is for giving freedom of association to the workers to form unions. And these unions are used as advocacy tools for the rights of the workers. Many times we try our best, but our best may not be good enough, and accidents can happen. People can catch diseases at the workplace. Now what happens? Here there are also laws that are providing safety for the worker. So there is what we call Workers' Compensation Act. If a worker gets injury or ill health at the workplace, this law comes into place. And there are guidelines and regulations that should be followed to make sure that the worker is compensated if there is need for compensation. But at least treatment is given for the worker to recover from the sickness or the injury that he has undergone. If it comes to the worst, in case of death, it also specifies what should be done. So we have these laws that are used to safeguard the health of the workers, plus the policies, the regulations.
But I can say these are on paper, not in practice. And two, how are the casual laborers